Hey, thanks for joining us for this episode. And hey, I want to remind you, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel and that you follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. And this episode, I'll go ahead and let you know, is going to be directed a little bit more towards the church leaders in our audience. But even if you just go to church or you're involved in church in any way, I actually think the content's going to be helpful to you as well, because we're going to be talking about an interesting concept that I've been fascinated with lately, which is this. Every church, regardless of size, regardless of where you're at, regardless of any of the factors, every church is actually multi-campus. We're going to dive into this concept today. My name is Luke Clayton, and welcome to the Must Increase Podcast. All right, let's get started. Let's dive right in to this concept. Every church is multi-campus. Every church is multi-site. Now, when I use the term multi-site or multi-campus, your mind is going to go, especially you church leaders out there, your mind goes to the mega churches. The mega churches that have tens of thousands of people attending every week. And many times those that have the tens of thousands, those are the ones that are multi-site, but they're doing it in a way that's very advanced, that's very high-tech. So you're thinking about the church out there that's got all these different campuses, maybe all in one region, or maybe even scattered across the country. And they're probably doing that by means of video preaching and teaching. That's going to kind of drive the worship experience in terms of the preaching and teaching part. So they're going to have a live, most likely worship, actual like music and worship. And then as they drift into the teaching, they're going to play a video. And obviously you can only get away with that in terms of keeping it immersive, keeping it engaging with your audience, if that video is very high quality. And so they're going to have the best cameras, the best lighting, the best projectors, and as they should. And so when I say that every church is multi-site, every church has more than one campus, you say, well, first of all, that's not true. Because, Luke, I've got a church, and we've got one campus. And you would be in the vast majority of churches in that you have that one physical campus. And I'm not saying you're wrong. And secondly, you're saying, Even if I could, there's no way, even if I was in a place to where, you know, I was open to the idea of a multi-site, multi-campus type of approach, there's no way I could do that. There's no way I could afford all of this, equipment and so forth. But that doesn't really matter, because what we're talking about is that every church has at least two campuses. You, of course, have your physical campus. You have your building where people physically assemble every week. And I always want to make it clear, I am all about that. I don't want anyone out there to think that because I appreciate technology and stay up to date on it as best as I can, and that I am somebody who creates media and is in that world, that I would ever be the guy to say that a physical campus, an actual in-person gathering at church, is not crucial, because I believe it absolutely is essential and vital, not just from a perspective of faith, but I actually believe that from the perspective of society, of the good of society, the good of our culture. We need places, whether it's religious in affiliation or not, we need places where we physically gather together in actual in-person community. There is no substitute for being with someone in real life, whether that, again, be somebody who's your spouse, your child, a friend, or, again, a community of believers. And so, please, never misunderstand me. Never think that I would say that there is not an absolute essential need for physical worship experiences and gatherings of people in person. And never even take it as far as to say that I would say that that is sub-priority to maybe something digital. Physical is greater than digital. In-person is greater than online. I am a big believer in that. And so I have to make that massive disclaimer as we start this type of content, because I don't want anyone out there to think, well, okay, so you're just giving somebody an excuse to not to skip church or to not get physically or involved at a physical location in an in-person worship setting. Absolutely not. I think that's ideal. All of that said, that 100% physical in-person participation is not possible. It's not going to be possible in this day and age for a lot of reasons. First of all, probably the most practical and understandable is that of those who truly have the health limitations. And the reason I can relate to that is because I have a grandfather who's in that exact position. My grandfather is in his late 80s. He cannot walk anymore. He's in a wheelchair and he is shut into his home. He has in-home care around the clock. And you know, that's just where he's at in his life. He's lived a long, awesome life, still going strong, just not able to really leave his home except for in some very rare situations, such as doctor visits, things like that. But for my grandpa to get out of his house, physically go to a church every week, it's just not a reality. And so my grandpa, the only way that he is going to engage with church anymore is through live streaming online. And he does that. And I'm so glad that there are platforms and technologies that allow for that. And I know of so many people, particularly those who would be elderly, senior citizens, whatever you want to classify them as, that, yeah, that's all they got. Or at least they're not able to make it out to church as often as maybe they would have in their younger years. And I think that's a wonderful example of why church online is so valuable. And then there are those who are, maybe they're physically able, but they're physically unwilling. For whatever reason, maybe they have some type of social anxiety. Maybe they are, they're just kind of shy, introverted. Now look, we can tell those people, hey, get over it and, you know, just force yourself to do it. And great, there's value to forcing yourself out of your comfort zone. But there are some people who are socially awkward. And there's also this to consider too. There are many people who nowadays, in this digital first world that we live in, I mean, think about this way. How many of us are really nowadays going to go to a brand new restaurant, maybe a local restaurant, without looking up the reviews on Google or Yelp? I mean, really, how many of us are really gonna do that? I mean, it happens, I've done it before, but so often you're going to utilize their digital presence first to actually see if it's something you're willing to try. And in the same way, so many people are doing that with everything, including churches. They're going to get very digitally involved with your church. And in fact, many times the level at which they can get digitally involved is going to determine if they ever get involved in an in-person environment. And however, just like the restaurant, well, I can't eat the food by only getting involved digitally. Now, maybe I could use DoorDash or Uber Eats and I could order it in, perhaps, but I'm never really going to experience that restaurant and the service and the food and the environment and all it has to offer without physically going there, but I might use the digital means as a way of getting to know and to understand and get an idea of what I can expect. And if we continue this comparison, this analogy of restaurants and churches, let's think of it this way. If I go online and I Google or search for a certain type of restaurant, I say, hey, I want to have some let's go with a pizza. Okay, pizza in my town. And let's say that I go, I go online and I'm looking this up and I find a couple of these pizza options. All right. And again, they're local. We're not talking about chains. We're not talking about Domino's and Pizza Hut and Papa John's. We're talking about a true local place. And let's say that this one location has virtually no website presence or online presence, I should say. I can't find a menu. I can't find photos of the food. I can't find reviews. But then let's say there's another one that has all of that and they have a decent website and they make the digital experience of me trying to get an idea of what I can expect from that restaurant should I physically go there. Well, which one am I going to pick? Well, I'm going to more likely to pick the one that gave me the best online experience, giving me an idea of what to expect. And I believe the same thing is going to happen in the world of your church. And so if, for example, someone searches for churches in my town, Baptist churches in my town, or whatever denomination they might be looking for, they just search for churches in my town or in my area, in my zip code. Well, and they see a few options, and they go to one church site that has very little to say. Maybe it's an outdated website or no website at all. Maybe there's no way to find a sermon, a recent sermon to watch. There's not a lot of clear information on the website. It's kind of uncertain what this church is all about. But then we have another one that does have all of the things we're talking about. It does, for example, have a nice, not just aesthetically pleasing website, but a website that's clear in communicating what this church is all about. That says, hey, here's when you can come to church and here's what you can expect. And here's maybe a little bit of information about our pastor and our leadership team and the ministries, like our kids ministry and so forth. And also, if you want to check it out, you can watch a sermon. You can listen to the podcast before you ever stop by. Now, which one do you think the person, the potential guest, is more likely to pick? So I give this illustration. And maybe it's unnecessary. Maybe it's something that I don't need to say, but I feel like I do, because I think there's still a lot of churches out there. And again, just so people understand that I'm not picking on churches in general, really, it's unfortunately something that's happening in organizations and brands of all kinds, that there's still, especially if you're, obviously the big corporations and big mega churches, they have it figured out, but the local, the ones that really matter, the local assemblies, the local churches, in these areas, the smaller, maybe more feel at home type churches, there, many of them are still missing this. And so that's why I think if we have a paradigm shift and we understand that every church does have two campuses, your physical campus and your digital campus, your church online experience. Now, before I go any further, let me clarify and remind you of what that is not. Or I should say, what that is not exclusively. That is not just your live stream or, videos and media content of your worship and preaching. That is certainly part of it, but that is not it. Because it would be inaccurate of me to say that the entirety of the in-person church experience is just the worship service, or just the preaching, or just the music, or just the whatever. No, it's, yes, that's going to be, if you go to church, you're going to spend, 50 to 60 minutes in that environment, hearing the music, the worship, participating in the worship, and hearing the teaching and preaching. But that's not all. Because what happens when you arrive? Well, really, the experience begins the moment you drive onto the parking lot. Okay, where am I going to park? Okay, how far am I going to have to walk to get into the main entrance? Is it clear of how I get into the main entrance? When I walk in, if I have kids, where do they go? What do I do with my kids? Where do I go after I drop my kids off? Where is the auditorium, the sanctuary? And so you go into your experience, rather, begins really when you arrive onto the physical campus. And it also ends when you leave. And so everything in between, from the moment you drive onto the campus, enter the building, are greeted maybe by a hospitality team. You do walk in, you experience the worship, you walk out, maybe you're given some type of gift, again, by a hospitality host team, something like that. Pick up your kids, drop off your kids, all of these different There's all these different moments, and there's all these different aspects of the in-person church experience. So when we think about that, let's think about your church online experience. It's not only that video or maybe audio content of preaching and teaching, though that is a huge part of it. And I do believe that if that's done right, that can have a huge part in long term influencing someone to get more engaged and involved in church, but it's not it. So when I use the term church online, and when you hear that term, we've got to make a disconnect, a slight, again, another shift in our mindset and a slight disconnect. We've got to disconnect that from being exclusively associated with what we would maybe call live stream or, again, video or media content of the worship service and preaching and teaching. No. It's much greater than that. It expands to any place that your church is represented online. So, yes, live stream, covered that. Your YouTube channel, which of course is where a lot of that video content is going to live. Your podcast feeds, your Apple, you know, which again, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, where all these different podcast listings are going to be. Your social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, even the dreaded TikTok. All of these are places where that come together to represent really your virtual, your digital, your online campus. And that's different about obviously digital than the physical on person or in person rather campus is that it's kind of spread out all over the place. And of course can be accessed from anywhere. So I can access it right from the palm of my hand with my phone or from my desktop with my computer. And there's so many variety of ways again, and kind of different. It's kind of like there's different, then maybe your church has different rooms, you know, different departments. You know, again, we talk about the kids department, maybe the youth and student department, maybe the young adults, maybe another room where there's some type of a conference or fellowship gathering type of room. And of course, the main auditorium. Think about that with your digital campus as well. There's these different rooms, the social media rooms, the Instagram room department, the Twitter department. Again, if you're using Twitter, again, I'm not going to get on what platforms are best, but the YouTube department, and then of course your website. And the way I see that, and I'm going to stop and pause there and kind of elaborate a little bit more on the website aspect of it, because the website is kind of the way I see it. It's kind of like your main welcome area. Okay. Again, you've got all these different rooms and departments of your church building, maybe. Your welcome area, though, you really want that one to shine. You know, you really want that to stand out. You want that because that is going to be, you know, once somebody actually physically walks into the building, that is going to be what makes the strongest, most likely the strongest impression, because it's going to be the ultimate first impression of most people who are visiting. And so that's how I see the website. Because when you go to yourchurchname.com and you go to this website, this is the, it may not be, because think about it, the lobby at your church or the welcome area may not be the first place that your a new guest is going to go. Okay, they may go to, again, the parking lot is really the first place. So that needs to be good. You know, they may actually wind up stopping by, you know, if you have a dedicated kids building, they may stop by there first. But ultimately for them, before they enter that sanctuary, that worship center auditorium, they're going to come into your welcome area, your lobby, your foyer, whatever you call it. And so it may not be the first place in terms of impression, but it is going to be for most people, it's going to be the maybe pinnacle of impression in terms of if they feel welcome, where they get more information, what they know what to do next. And so that's why I see your website. Yeah, somebody very likely is going to stumble across your church, if you will, their first digital impression of your online campus is going to very likely be on maybe Google or social media or YouTube or one of these other platforms that's not truly your website. But ultimately, they're going to stop by their website if they're really interested, they're going to go to the website because that's where they're going to expect to get more information. So I will stop and say this. This is another reason, argument, if you will, of anybody who ever tells you that you don't need a website. And believe it or not, I've started to hear that argument a little bit. That is absolutely not true because you do not control ultimately the experience that they have on these different third-party platforms like YouTube and social media, Instagram, Facebook, all these places. You don't own that real estate. You don't control that. With a website, you do. You own it, you control it. And so we want to have a website and we want to make sure that our website, it is our welcome area for a new guest. And so with that in mind, what do we want to do with our website? Well, we've done all types of content about, you know, using a website You know, how to build it. We talked about it a little bit from a technical perspective in the past, but really what we want to keep in mind are a few things. The first and most dominant mindset we want to keep in mind is that the website needs to be optimized for new digital guests, and start to think of them as that, new digital guests. A lot of times, you know, we'll use the term website visitors. And maybe you call visitors at your church, that's fine. But I always like using that term guest, because a guest gives you the idea that you need to be hospitable to this person. Again, I guess it is a synonymous and a synonym with visitor. But again, you just use that term guest. Whenever you walk into a Chick-fil-A, what do they call you? They don't call you a customer. They call you a guest, you know? And so I like to use that mindset with our website. How are we gonna greet our digital guests? Not just our not just visitors, not just clicks, not just traffic. They are guests. And so that impression that a digital guest is going to have about your church is very much going to be determined about your website. And so you want to keep it in mind. Your homepage of your website, when I go to mychurchwebsite.com, that homepage should be all, you should treat it as if everybody going to that homepage, they're going there for the first time. They're a first time guest to your church. If you have, it wouldn't make a lot of sense for when somebody walks into your physical welcome area at your actual in-person location at your church in that lobby area. It wouldn't make sense for that to, for you to be greeted with somebody who automatically assumes that you've been there before and starts talking about, oh, all the different, you know, using inside language and talks about, you know, maybe upcoming, you know, small group or connection events that are relevant to somebody who's been plugged into your church for a while. For example, maybe your church has a choir. And what if the first thing that that somebody did when a guest walked into your welcome area, what if the first thing that happened was somebody walking up to them saying, hey, are you coming to choir practice later today? You know, they would be like, what? Like, what's that all about? Or what if they said, walked up and said, hey, are you going to come to this paid, you know, retreat event that we're doing? Now, I mean, there's a chance that they might be interested. But, you know, the first thing that to be like, well, wait, that seems like a big commitment to pay for this event. Or what if the first thing they did is they walked in and they said, hey, can you give to our church? Here's an offering plate. Can you drop some money in there? So many times, though, when we go to a church website, that's the type of impressions we get. I cannot stand it when one of the call to action buttons that's maybe right there dominant on the homepage or up in the top corner of the site is give or give online. Because that is not a somebody who's a first time digital guest. They don't want to. They're not. That's a big commitment to give. And you say, well, people need to know how to give. Okay, look, there are places to put that. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't say don't, you know, take up an offering and don't, you know, give people the opportunity to give during your church. I wouldn't necessarily say that. I wouldn't go that far. But we don't make it a dominant aspect of that for those who are first-time guests. So we don't need to do that. We need to do the same. We need to keep the same mindset, rather, whenever we are dealing with our digital online guests. So we want them to come to the website. And what do we want them to know? Well, we want them to know some very important things. We want them to feel welcome. So it's a really good idea to, you know, say, hey, again, you maybe have some wording, some messaging that's specific to your church. You know, I don't want it to be too generic, but we want them to feel at home. Hey, join us for worship. We're glad you're here. You belong here. Now, again, that messaging may be a little vague, but figure out how to make it something welcoming like that. That's very much centric to the website guest, making them feel welcome and that they do belong there. And then we want to make some things really obvious. We want them to be able to plan a visit. And so we want them to be able to maybe make plans to come to the church by clicking on a button and maybe then indicating that, hey, we'd love to have you stop by and fill out maybe share a little bit of information so that we can get connected with you. We want them also, though, we want to know if they are going to visit, we want them to know when. They need to know the service times. I cannot tell you, and I've gone off on this before, how many websites I will audit that I will look over, and it is really hard to find the service times. Your service times should be everywhere. Your service times should be super easy for people to find, and I would go as far as to say that they need to be in multiple places on your website, if not on every single page. You say, well, how do I put my website, or my service times rather, on every page of my website? Hey, there's this thing called a website footer. It lives on every page of the website. And so I say, make sure that it's there, because that way it doesn't matter where they're on the website, they can scroll to the footer and they can see your service times. And they should also be able to see maybe your location as well, your address, or bonus points if you embed some type of Google map. Google likes that, by the way, because they like it when you embed the Google map and the Google listing on your website. It helps your SEO. So there's that's a free tip for you. That is something that you can do to, again, keeping the guest in mind, the first time digital guest in mind, make that information, that pertinent information about the service times, where you're located, making that dominant on your homepage and even on every page with the footer on the website. Because here, what are we trying to do ultimately? Again, circling back and calling back to what I started with. Do not get me wrong. I very much prioritize in-person worship and gathering over digital. And so what the mission of your website should be is to make personal connections with digital guests so that you can take a online guest and convert them to an in-person guest. Well, the most obvious way of doing that is making it obvious where your church is and when you meet for worship. And so that right there, if you take that and run with it, that enough, I believe, can make a massive difference in your the impression you're leaving on your digital guests and ultimately your engagement there with people visiting your church online. Beyond that, though, let's make sure that homepage is optimized to be welcoming. Let's use photos that maybe include smiling people, or at least are very accurate and representative of your church. You know, people, enjoying worship or using their Bible or whatever it may be. Let's make sure that if you do have kids programs, that's something you feature on your homepage. Hey, we do. We offer, 18 and under or whatever your age is. We offer, nurseries, and we offer childcare, and we offer kids class and kids church and things like that. You want to make that obvious. Do you have small groups? Every church does, and every church should. And that's not what this episode's about, but you need to prioritize that, because whether you call it a class or a small group or a connection group, I don't care what you call it, you are offering small groups. And that's a lot of times what people are looking for. They don't want just weekend worship. They want to know that they can connect with a community of people. And so making that obvious and making it possible for people to engage in that way and maybe take their next step. And that's another thing that you want to do. You want to make it obvious. You want to make it dominant to help people take their next best step with Jesus and with your church. And so whether that be, I've seen a great way is to say, hey, how can we pray for you? Making that obvious, making it something interactive where they can submit a prayer request. Hey, send us a message if you have questions. Are you ready to be baptized? Are you ready to maybe serve and get involved? Because you never know. People who come to your website and come to that digital welcome area, that lobby, you don't know where they might be in their spiritual journey. And you don't know where they might be in terms of their digital relationship with your church. And so you just want to make some next steps really obvious. And so these are just some practical. Oh, and another thing, let's give them an idea of how they can get to know your church a little bit better. Maybe you do put a little bit of information about your pastor. I know some pastors think it's maybe humble not to include their information dominantly on the website, but I will tell you this, a lot of people are looking to know who the leader of a church or organization like a church is. They want to know who's going to be preaching to them and teaching them every week. They want to get to know a little bit about you. And so including a little bio, a little photo, things like that, there on the homepage, it's not a bad idea at all. In fact, I would encourage it. And so you just want to, again, let's keep the digital guest, the online website guest, let's keep them in mind with our homepage. Yes, again, we talk about online giving and event registration and all these different things. There's a place for all of that on your website. I love the idea on the websites we build here at Church Media HQ. We have what's called a Connect page. And the Connect page is a little bit more about those next steps, regardless of where you're at on your journey with Christ and on your particular relationship, maybe in connection with the church. It's got all of the different places, but it's not the homepage. It's a secondary page, Connect, that gives churches, or gives rather website guests and maybe those who are already involved, all the different ways they can take another step with Jesus and take another step with your church. So yes, the online giving would be there. And the event registration and the upcoming announcements about the calendar and things like that, all of that lives there. But let's just not get distracted with a lot of that stuff on our homepage. Because our homepage, that's our welcome area for our website guests. We want them to feel welcome. We want to make that online visitor into an on-site visitor as easy as possible by telling them where our church is, when we meet, and just giving them an idea of why they're going to be welcome there and enjoy that experience. And so you do. Doesn't matter who you are, pastor, church leader out there, your church does have two campuses. You have the physical in-person campus, and it is most important. But you also, whether you have all the high-tech live stream gear, video gear, whether you are able to offer that at all, doesn't matter. You have the capability, and you do have a second campus, and it is your digital campus. So every church is multi-site, in person and online, the website and the physical site. Every church has two campuses, and you have a responsibility to make both optimized for guests to help them get further connected with your church and further connected with Christ. Hey, thanks again for joining us for this episode. I do hope that you will, again, take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's found at youtube.com/mustincrease. You can also follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. If you want to connect with me and learn more about what we do for churches, businesses, families, and so forth, just head over to mustincrease.com. And I do want to thank you for joining us for this episode as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others right here on the Must Increase podcast.